Good morning. Welcome back. It is, what is today? The third Wednesday, 3rd of June. Just another day. Hope everyone's doing well. Reflecting today. I've been thinking a lot about breathing. I watched a thing the other day, and this guy was talking about breathing and, you know, how he uses it to go to sleep. And I've been trying to focus on breath. This one guy, and I talked about it before, how this guy used to call it ocean sounds, and I've always called it zombie sounds. Focus on breathing, getting centered, right? Do you do that? I've been doing it. It's actually been really helping my sleeping, and it's been interesting. It's one of the most important things. It's like breathing and water. It's like the two most important things. And it's almost the two things that I really don't pay the least amount of attention to. That I do pay the least of amount. How do you say that? I don't pay enough attention to either one, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yesterday I decided I would post this podcast on social media. You know, I thought I would just do it for a while and not share it. But the reality is that it's for me that this is about still recognizing the fact that, you know, however many years it's been since I've had a drink, it's still a big part of my life, you know? I think sharing and talking about it reminds me. I just ran with my buddy this morning we've both been sober for a long time, and I was talking to him that I need to get to a meeting, you know? I miss going to meetings right now. He asked me, "Do you want me to send you a Zoom link?" And I was like, I guess for the meeting today, I was like, nah, I got things to do. He's all, "How about tomorrow?" I said, "Okay, yeah, that's probably a good idea." Crazy listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan was like a huge part of my drinking, huge part of my sobriety. Great story of sobriety coming out from a long life of drinking and drugging and finally getting sober. My first introduction to Stevie Ray Vaughan was at a bar in Leucadia, California called the Leucadian. And used to always play Stevie Ray Vaughan on the jukebox while we played pool and had fun and I like that song, Life by a Drop. I mean, that seemed to be kind of how my life was back in those days. It was like one incident after another. My mom used to always say, "Septembers are a tough month. Septembers are never good for you." I don't know, maybe because I was born in September. But, you know, the other 11 months usually are pretty shitty, too. when I was living life by the drop, you know, my life was one incident to the next, you know, crashing my car, getting in a fight, you know. I was talking about that yesterday. My, you know, whatever's been going on, you know, my, as far as my role in like interacting with cops and incidents started when I started drinking and ended when I got sober. You know, I don't interact with the police. I have police that are friends now. I never had friends that were cops. Today I have friends that are cops. I know that, you know, it's a tough subject that's going on this morning, but in my life, for me, my relationship with cops started and ended really when I was drinking. And but it was like everything, you know. One car crash, it was always just, you know, some weird shit. But it was like, you know, and sitting around and talking about like what we were going to do one day. You know, you hear that all the time. You know, I was great at that. What I was going to be one day or what I used to be. I could never talk about like what was going on right now. Because in the middle of my addiction and in that lifestyle, to whatever I was doing right now was the most uncomfortable point of my life. You know, I was probably 2 days away from an apology, and I was probably 2 days away from another apology. Fucking, it wasn't a life. And I've talked about this before, you know, my life had become unmanageable. My life never was manageable. I never even had a life. I just was existing and bugging people and creating trouble. You know, my life didn't get unmanageable really till I got sober. You know, I wasn't an alcoholic until I had to quit. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. But all of a sudden, you know, interacting, becoming friends with like police officers. I ran this morning. I talked to, I was telling my friend, you know, when I first got sober, it was really important for me to be friends with people that were important. They had great jobs, businessmen, business owners. Because that, in the back of my mind, made me feel like I was soberer, or I was a better person because I wasn't, you know, hanging out with shitheads. I was hanging out with professional people. But, you know, and we all know this, just because you're a professional, that don't make you a great person. And I found myself putting up with things, just like I'm sure people put up with things from me. But I'm putting up with things, but all under the umbrella of that this is a sober professional person. So this kind of represents where I'm at. And, you know, sometimes you have to end relationships. You know, you get better and you're like, listen, all I can do is focus on how fucked up you are. And that's bizarro. It's you know, it gets into my serenity. And, you know, it's just the longer I stay sober or without drink, the longer I stay without drink, the more I'm desperate to find serenity. And I don't even think that figuring out what serenity, you know, I didn't walk into a program and want serenity or even understand what serenity meant. You know, it's a trip. One thing I'm realizing is, and I've always known this, is that meetings will play a role in my life till the day I die. Just the fact that it's suggested. You know, just for that humility, that inconvenience. I remember when I first started going to meetings, I thought, well, I have nothing to offer. You know, I have nothing to share. I'm not going to enlighten the room with something. I believe me, I would sit and think, you know, at a meeting, you know, am I going to share tonight? You know, what can I say that's going to be so profound that everyone goes, oh my God, Tom, thank you. You just changed my life. I mean, that was the requirements that I would put on myself if I thought I was going to try to share. And I remember saying, you know, I have nothing to offer. Someone reminded me, if you hadn't shown up, and let's say you were the only one that showed up, you might be the only reason that the meeting might even still, you know, happen for the night. You know, I had to remember that just showing up was being a big part, was playing a role. But I was so consumed, and still am, you know, I manage it. It's manageable. I see it a lot more clear now. You know, I ran with my buddy this morning you know, I tend to still try to make things about me. And I don't know why. It's not that I'm that important. I think it's just so I can participate in the conversation, so I relate something to the topic that we're talking about that I've experienced. And sometimes it ends up sounding like I'm making, you know, like someone will say, hey, you know, I've been having a lot of trouble with my foot. Yeah, my foot's been bothering me too. Like, I just don't know how to say, wow, okay. And that's kind of a weird example, but do people struggle with that? Do you struggle with that? You know, some people just like, and I've been told, you know, someone will start saying something and I'll, yeah, me too. And, you know, there's people that will say, listen, man, I'm not telling you this because I want an answer or I need your feedback. I just need to share and just kind of get this off my chest. And I remember when that happened to me the first time, I'm like, oh God, you know, I felt like two inches tall. So then now I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. Now I'm gone down this path. Now I'm just going to listen. It's like every turn in the path of being free from drink, more gets exposed. I didn't come to AA or I didn't come to a 12-step program so that I could not comment, to just listen. You know, one of my biggest problems with being sober is just this constant analyzing of myself, which gets exhausting. I don't need to know. And especially like when I interact with people that aren't programmed, all I do is just analyze them in my head. Listen, this guy, he's making it all about themselves. Jesus Christ, don't they understand? Of course not. It's painful. I started hanging out with this one friend of mine. He's, you know, sarcastic and he puts me down and he's, you know, but it's all for fun. But, you know, if I was going to run it through a 12-step program filter or shaker there, you know, I could pick a lot of things out. But I don't want to. And I don't want to point it out to people because, you know, some of these fun things about people are the reasons that, you know, I like them. I don't want to change anybody. It was my problem. I'm the one that couldn't drink. No waste of time, we'll love the day. Churning up the past, there's no easier way. Time's been between us, a man's to an end. God, it's good to be here walking together, my friend. Living a dream. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. I'm glad I don't have to live like that today. And I miss that guy, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Jesus. What a freaking guitar god. A friend of mine said, I think the God flowed through him. You know, I was wondering about this. Do you think, you know, you know, do you think that, like, we're picked, you know, that we have a destiny? I know we hear that word destiny, but do you think we're, like, you know, if I was going to try to dumb it down or try to make it something, like, that I could understand, like, if this was, like, I don't know even how to explain it, but let's say we're just, you know, there's like a place and we're sent. All right, we're going to need, we need people to cut hair, you know. We need doctors. We need, you know, Uber drivers. I don't know, whatever it is, but, you know, we're sent down into the world, pre-programmed to do this. This is our destiny. And we bounce around, but we end up finding our true path, and that's what our purpose is, to manage, like my job is to manage a small group on this planet, to manage their hair. And then to raise this small group of kids, my children. You know, is there something to that, or destiny? You know, it was my destiny to, I don't know, but do what I do, but somehow it got off the path because of drugs and alcohol? Is that a self-centered detour? You know, because it's all self-centered disease, right? I mean, you get to a point where you know what you should do, and then the other way is you know what I want to do. And there's people that choose what they should do naturally. And then there's people like me who choose what they want to do. And then get themselves all in a jam doing all the stuff they want to do. And then have to finally get to a point where they realize they need to surrender that. And start doing what they should do. You know, I've always remembered, I forget who it was that told me, and I experienced this with my dad. You know, my mom, I've talked about my mom, and we've had to put my mom, we had the resources, we were able to put my mom into a, you know, a long-term living facility, because she just, you know, her health got to a point, you know. But my dad would be like, you know, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. It became a burden, right? And, you know, and it was wearing him out, and he was depressed. And I go, listen, you know, we get to do this for mom. You know, we're lucky. You know, I remember sitting in I'd gotten in a jam in San Diego, and I was sitting in this jail cell looking at this television covered with plexiglass, dirty, you know, smoky looking plexiglass. You could barely see the picture. And I thought to myself, I don't care whatever I do in my life, whatever I'm doing, you know, give and take, has got to be better than this. You know, everything since then, I try to remind myself that I get to do this. Because when I was in jail, I didn't get to do anything. I was told what to do. Freedom is like a gift. You know, we get to put mom into this home because, you know, choices could have been made earlier where, you know, maybe that, you know, my dad hadn't planned, you know, my parents, and that's what we do, right? We plan for the end. I think we plan for this great retirement, driving around Florida in an RV, sitting around watching sunsets, drinking, you know, martinis and, you know, living out the rest of our life. But life comes at you. You know, and within a week, my mom had gone blind. And within 4 weeks, she was at a point where, you know, my dad couldn't take care of her anymore. But they'd planned, you know, they'd put money aside for just this occasion. And I said, listen, man, you get to do this. You know? And he was like, you're right. And it's still an inconvenience. It's still pain in the ass. It still sucks. You know, I'm having a lot of trouble, you know, if I'm going to be honest this morning, I'm having a lot of trouble dealing with that, my mom. You know, it's like she almost passed away. It's like she's kind of passed away, but she's still alive. You know, the genie that I knew is my mom. I mean, I know we all love our moms, but my mom was so great. Not only was she my mom, but she, you know, she adopted me. She picked me. You know, it's hard enough to have a child and raise them. But to like pick one and raise them? You know, what a challenge. You know, give them too much, buy their love. Are they going to love me any, you know, when are they going to quit? When are they going to leave me and go find their birth parents? You know, it's a lot of stress, but she took it on and did it, and she was great at it. My parents did it 110%. I think that extra 10% is what kind of fucked me up. You know, if my kids put me through half the shit that I put my parents through, they're going to find themselves out on the street. And I say that, you know, do I mean it? I don't know. But, you know, I feel like my parents gave us so many chances. So I don't, you know. So the mom that I knew is just gone. And then I talked to her and, you know, we've had to put her in this place and, you know, the COVID-19, they're not allowing us to see her. And she went blind over Thanksgiving, so we can't FaceTime her. So she feels like we've abandoned her. It's very, very, very tough. And I call her and I explain to her what's going on. And then the next day she forgets. So I have to call and I have to re-explain to her. And, you know, I'm finding myself procrastinating on the call. And then the call becomes, you know, the content of the call that I will be making becomes tougher to talk about. It's like everything with procrastination, right? I mean, whatever I'm procrastinating on becomes worse and worse, a bigger problem. Until I finally address it. It's very, very strange. I love my mom. I miss her. And I don't know. I hope that we can finally get in and start to see her and be there for her and so she knows that we love her and because it's been brutal. Yeah. So, what else is going on? Been doing a lot of podcasting. The Rehoboth Social Podcast. It's been fun. And just trying to get back into the swing of things. And been running. Ran this morning. Feeling good. I wanted to play a song. Oh, there it is. Yeah, but still, you know, having all this going on has been easy for me to kind of ignore the fact that I haven't been going to meetings. And I shared this before about, you know, one of the things that's happened to me, so I got sober in 97, sober 7 years, drank, sober 2 years, you know, using pills, so really sober, so to speak, not really sober, and then finally getting to a point where I had to address my pain pill addiction, finally cut everything, and December will be 12 years. So 12 years, so really, I mean, but really been through all that, still continuing to go to meetings, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 meetings a week, just deep into it. And one of the things that I've always noticed is that, you know, like I'm into meetings and then they get stagnant and then I become cynical and then I start to fade off and then I get back into meetings and so it's constantly changing up and down. And, you know, I'm at a point right now that I need to get back to meetings because just to be there for the next person and, you know, just to be accountable and show up. And I haven't been doing that. And I need to. And I miss it. You know, I'm not sure. Then I start thinking I have nothing to add, which is crazy. And, you know, up until this point, over the last 20-something years, I've never done a speaker meeting. Has anybody done a speaker meeting out there? I'm afraid of them. I can't speak for half an hour. How about redoing a four-step? Should we redo a four-step every so often? I mean, I feel like I kind of do a four-step every day. It's kind of the part of my problem. I feel like I analyze everything so much that it's just, you know, oh, that's my problem. I'm not getting what I want, or I need to make more money, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. It's crazy. I don't know. I wish I could start reading the steps. I wish I could start. I don't know what I can do with this podcast other than just chat. You know, I don't want to come off like I don't like something and deter somebody from trying it. Steps and stuff. You know, I'd love to talk about the second step. Maybe I'll do that next time. And if somebody gets pissed off or doesn't like it, you know, you can't even find me, huh? Can't send me an email. I don't know. Anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. And, you know, hopefully you didn't have to say sorry, right? I love this song. You know, this when Stevie Ray does this song live, he there's a break in the song where he talks about recovery and being there for, you know, being there for our brothers and sisters. You know, if someone's down, be there for them. Try to be there for someone, I guess, today. I will. Everybody has a great day. Appreciate listening. I guess be there for our brothers and sisters today. I'm going to work on my breath. I'm drinking water and managing the vehicle. Have a great day. See you, everybody. Bye.